This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to Issues 2018.
Steve, great to be here. Thank you.
As always, nice to have you with us. I want to start, if I can, with a little background. Could you just describe the city manager's job and how you work with city council and all the departments?
Sure. That's a great question. Very few people ever ask me that. The former government that we have actually was adopted in 1917. We were one of the first cities in the country to adopt the council manager form of government. And it came out of what was called the reform movement at the time because there was a lot of corruption in City Hall. And and I don't mean Wichita City Hall necessarily, but across the country. And it was to run government more like a business. And so if you think about the mayor and city council serving as the board of directors, my job is to be the CEO and to run the activities of the city, the general operations on a day-to-day basis.
And when was that?
1917.
I think it was, my history tells me, it was about the time when civil service was trying to be overhauled across the country.
That's exactly right. It happened at the federal level as well.
Yeah. Yep. How many departments and city employees are under your authority?
Well, we have 3,100 employees. We have an operating budget that's close to $600 million. So we're a big business.
So how many departments is that then?
We have 15 departments.
Oh, let's talk about that budget. How much will the city spend this year?
Well, we'll spend close to $600 million, excuse me.
Okay.
And that includes our utilities.
How does that compare to years past? You've been keeping about the same, going up?
Some growth. It's primarily on the utility side, and that's on the maintenance of our infrastructure. It's not in terms of trying to respond to extensions of service necessarily, but I think we've talked before. We've had a significant deferral of expenses in our utilities, and actually for all of our infrastructure over the last maybe 30, 40 years. And this council is committed to trying to make up some ground and to improve our streets, improve our water and sewer systems, and so that's why we've seen some growth in our expenses.
I may ask you a little more about that here in a minute, but as you plan for the coming year. Overall, and I know you're always in the budget process, right?
Unfortunately, it sure
just
seems
keeps going
way.
All yeah, the yeah. time. As you plan for the coming year, you see spending increase?
No. What we're actually looking at are ways to trim our budget. Our theme for this year is that, unfortunately, that we are trying to provide 21st century services on a 20th century revenue stream. And when I say that, we've got three major funding sources that were relevant even 5 years ago that are really struggling now. One is the sales tax. And as we continue to see sales move to the internet and away from brick and mortar stores, we're losing revenue from our portion of the sales tax. And that's costing us about $2 million a year. We've also received revenue from franchise fees on cable television and also on landlines, telephone hard lines, And as you know, both of those are moving in different directions. And so we're seeing significant revenues start to really hurt, and that's putting pressure on us, as well as we're trying to keep our property taxes.
Yeah, I was going to say property taxes is a source too, is it not?
It is. And, you know, it's a non-starter in terms of any increase in our property tax rate. The council has been consistent in that for over 20 years. And so we have to live within any growth in the property tax.
So will the city have enough revenue to cover all the expenses?
You think? Well, what we're really focusing on is the expenditure side. You know, there's a lot of debate at the State House in terms of what they should have been doing on expenditures. And our council's always taken pride in the fact that they've tried to limit our expenditures and the growth in our expenditures. And it's hard. I mean, we have a lot of demands. We've tried to protect public safety during the recession. Now with these changes in our revenues, continue to try to do that. At the same time, there's more and more clamor for quality of life improvements, and it's a hard job to balance it. And council has been really wrestling with that for the last several years.
How has the local economy then impacted tax revenue? You mentioned a couple of ways, but overall, what's the impact been of the local economy?
Well, we've had a really slow growth in our property tax. As we get new businesses coming online, that will help us some. But as I said, we're seeing a reduction in our revenue from sales tax, and that's not because people are purchasing less. They're just purchasing less from businesses here at home, and they're doing a lot more on the internet. And as you know, this past year, there were more internet sales over the holiday season nationwide than there were out of hard market stores.
Well, what's going to happen? Will that finally bottom out someplace?
Supreme Court right now is looking at whether or not we have the right to collect sales tax for internet sales. And that case is going to be crucial for us. And we understand that they should have a decision sometime this summer.
And, you know, that's a landmark decision.
Yeah,
because
it will be.
You imagine the impact on the way we do things in America. Oh, yeah. So why don't I just go back to the store now?
Right.
There's nothing to be gained by it, or it's convenience.
And for our local retailers.
Local retailers.
I don't know that you'll ever move people away from their current spending habits in terms of the use of the internet. It is convenient, but it does put the local businesses at a disadvantage because the cost of their goods are higher just because of the sales tax.
Sure. Well, citizens have been voicing their displeasure in city council meetings about recent police shootings and policy. In fact, you get about, four or five speakers a week, it seems like. What are the steps the city goes through on an officer-involved shooting? What are the basics that you do?
That's a great question, Steve. We've and this case is a good one to talk about in terms of the process that we step through.
Are we talking about the swatting case?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes.
Where the gentleman was somebody called it swatting, then the police officer killed him. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the first thing we have to do is we have to let the district attorney review the case and determine whether or not charges are appropriate. And during that period of time, we can gather some data, but there's nothing we can do actively until that decision's been made by the district attorney. Now that the district attorney's decided not to prosecute, and now it's up to our professional standards unit to go ahead and review all of the evidence, review all of the testimony from witnesses, and make a determination whether or not the shooting was appropriate, were our policies followed. Those will be then presented to the chief and his administrative team. They'll look not just at the specific incident. They'll also look at our current policies and procedures and whether or not there were things learned from this episode that warrant changes in our policies. And then the added step that is new is that we will also present this to the Citizen Review Board. And that board will be privy to all the information that Professional Standards receives and that the chief looks at, and then they'll be prepared to make recommendations on changes in policies and procedures.
But they don't have the power to say, we need to change this. They can just recommend.
They can recommend, but we set it up so it's very visible. And so anything that they recommend has to be deliberated in a public meeting, and whoever wants to attend can do that, and the media, of course, can report on it as well. They may have some briefings that would be in closed session, but they have to come out and deliberate in the public.
We can empathize with anyone who's lost a loved one, but Are people just venting now? Or are they just sharing their grief? I mean, you got to sit down there and listen to basically the same thing every time.
Right.
Don't you?
Right. And I can't speak to individuals' motivations for speaking.
Right.
I think there are some who want reforms. I think they most of them have embraced what Chief Ramsey has been trying to do in terms of a transparent review process. They embrace the creation of the Citizen Review Board. Obviously, Mrs. Finch is going through a difficult time, and my heart goes out to her and the family as a result of this incident. So again, I don't know why everyone's there, but I do think it's a constant voice for review and possible reform.
Oh, obviously, but you suspect that some of these people are down there because they don't like police officers. city or big government or anything.
I think most of them have been very respectful the police department and recognize the tough job of officers. And I think what they want is they just want to make sure that we're doing a thorough review of our policies and that we stay current. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
Let's talk a little bit about the Citizen Review Board and how that came about and how it works.
Sure.
You already got seven people on there?
Steve, I think that's right. I helped appoint them.
They're going to be reviewing you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll be the next thing they do.
But they're citizens and they applied online.
They did apply. And we tried to get a balanced representation from council districts around the city, different walks of life, representing different populations in the community. We wanted to make sure that all voices were heard. And this is a great group of people. They are very, very serious about the work they're doing right now. They're reviewing policies from around the country regarding releasing the names of officers that are involved in the use of force incident. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of recommendations.
So how often do they meet then?
They meet at least quarterly, and I think they're meeting a little more frequently now.
Okay. Well, what's the pay on that?
That's the same that you get, and that's zero.
Yeah. I mean, it's just your chance to help in your community.
Right. That's right. These are dedicated volunteers who are giving up some work time in order to help.
All right. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Talk about the new downtown library. Is it open now? Not yet?
Not yet. It'll be open in June.
Must be a lot of books, huh?
There are a lot of books, but you know what? What I like to emphasize is there's a lot of technology. The day that we open, there'll be 100 computers for our residents to use. I just took a tour of the facility last week. Steve, I've said this all along, it will be a game changer. It will make a difference in the way that people learn in this community, not just children, but adults as well. And it's going to provide resources for small business owners, for a lot of collaborative spaces, for people that want to work together, whether it's on a school project or something else that's important to them. We have innovation space, and we're partnering with Wichita State University on programming and bringing equipment into that space. It's got a coffee shop. It's got
You're pretty excited about this thing.
No, not really. Not at all.
What did this cost, by the way?
It's cost about $37 million, if I remember correctly.
Was all of that city money?
About $30 million of it is city money, and the rest was raised privately.
There was some private money as well?
Yes.
All right. Have they retained the Dewey Decimal System?
They have not. I'm so sorry to tell you that. So.
Those of us who know all about that and we won't be able to find the books?
Well, you know, you're a dinosaur in that you're reading books, but it's interesting because they talked about the weakness of the Dewey Decimal System and the old way of categorizing.
Yeah.
They said if you wanted a book on gardening, there were three different places you would go in the old library to try to find gardening books.
Okay.
Now we're grouped by subject matter. And so all of that will be together. And it's much more like going to a bookstore.
Okay. Well, I get confused in there, too.
Yeah, I'm sure Sarah Bagby will help you with
that. I think you understand that. I get confused everywhere I go.
Yes.
You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. As plans for the River Corridor progress, what should citizens know about what's going on down there?
Well,
obviously, the appearance of the riverbank is changing a lot.
It really is. The River Vista Apartments are opening now. At least a portion of that project is complete. You got the library that's right next to it. There is a project from a developer in Kansas City called EPC, and they'll be developing later this year apartments as well as a hotel and a restaurant. And then as you move farther south, we've had discussions about what to do with Lawrence Dumont, and hopefully you'll have some changes. And then when you flip to the other side of the river, a lot of discussion about what we're going to do on cultural arts and the convention center.
So talk a little bit about that possible new downtown baseball stadium. Is it all contingent on in finding an affiliated team that will come in here, or a major league affiliated team?
Well, you know, it's the business decision is how. Originally, we looked, is there a way to modernize Lawrence Dumont? I mean, I'm not one of those people who says, you know, the best thing is new. And so we looked at and did an extensive amount of research on successful baseball franchises at the lower levels, right, below minor league, whether it's affiliated or independent. And what is it? What do you need to get people in seats today? And what we found is you need a lot of amenities and a lot of attractions. And when we looked at Lawrence Dumont, it just didn't lend itself to making the kind of improvements necessary. We have some structural issues that are serious enough that we'd have to invest very significantly in order to shore up the stadium over a period of time, over the next 5 years. And that's just to be able then to add some of the amenities that are necessary. And then you've got the cost of those. We find a lot of family areas in the new stadiums. We find party and gathering areas. I probably would estimate that about over 50% of the people that attend a game in one of those stadiums today, a modern stadium, maybe see an inning at the most of a game. They're there for the social aspect of it.
Really?
Yep. And it's just a fun night out, and the idea is to keep it inexpensive for families, and that's what we're aiming for. Now, the Wingnuts announced that this will be the last year for Lawrence Dumont, and in terms of how we go forward, it'll depend on whether or not there's another team to come in behind the Wingnuts. But right now, everything's focused on the Wingnuts last season, celebrating you know what they've done to keep baseball alive and actually to thrive at the independent level for the last 10 years.
The Wichita River Festival is coming up next month. How does the city work with the Festivals, Inc. people?
Well, we work pretty closely. They deserve all the credit for organizing. We just make sure that we help them behind the scenes. We provide the police security, which is always important. We provide many of the facilities. C2 is used. And then you'll see a lot of our staff helping with the volunteers zipping around in the program area.
You recently, volunteers worked to clean up the trash along the Arkansas River. I took part in that a couple of years ago. Interesting. What does the city do on a daily basis to keep the streets and public areas clean like that? Are you out there every day picking up cigarette butts? Or
That's about all I'm allowed to do anymore. we do some cleanup. It stretches our staff pretty thin. And so on major highways, as you know, we use volunteers. The river cleanup, it was sponsored by Cargill, and you know they are phenomenal in terms of what they give back to the community, especially for something like that. And our parks and recreation staff works with the contract mowing companies, lawn care companies that maintain our parks.
What are the plans for Nafsker Park in downtown Wichita?
Well, again, that's a project I'm pretty excited about. We'll be closing Nafsker here in the next week or so that we can start the renovation work. And we're going to turn that into a modern downtown urban park, one that it can be programmed significantly and can be utilized by everyone that lives and works downtown.
Okay.
Excuse me. The idea is to be inclusive. There was a lot of concern about this being in some kind of covert effort to move the homeless out of the park and out of the downtown. And we heard that from a lot of people during the planning process. And our designer was very careful to make sure that we have created spaces that are welcoming to everyone.
Tell us about ongoing work on the city's infrastructure, streets and pipes. You talked about that earlier. That's a big, big deal.
It really is. And the council has put additional money into street maintenance almost every year since I've been here. When I got here, we were putting $4 million in funds for contractual repairs of our streets. We'll be up to $10 million in a year. And we cap out, I think, at $12 million. And then on top of that, to show their commitment to the street problem, the council, when we sold the Hyatt Hotel, they took $10 million of the proceeds from the sale and committed that for residential streets throughout the city. So We're working on it. As I said, we're suffering from deferred maintenance. I ask for patience from our residents because I know sometimes we'll be making repairs and folks say, well, I don't think you did. Actually, it feels like it's worse than it was before. What we're trying to do is stabilize the basic infrastructure. So you're going to see a lot of patches, a lot of cracks that are being repaired. And then eventually we'll come back and do the resurfacing. And I know that process sometimes seems a little slow and deliberate, but people will have a much better product when it's done.
Wichita has a new fire chief, Tammy Snow, the first female fire chief we had. How is she doing?
Tammy's doing really well. We are so fortunate. She's a good manager. She is an inclusive manager and wants to involve the rank and file as she makes big decisions for the future of the department. One of the things that I find really refreshing is that she spent a lot of time looking at the nature of our calls. And as you know, most of our calls are for EMS. And we don't do as many fire calls as we used to as a department. So the question is, how can we best serve our residents for EMS service? And she's going to be bringing some recommendations forward for the council's consideration, where we're going to change the mix of our employees. So we'll have more emphasis on EMS-trained responders, and we'll have quick response vehicles that will allow us to get to scenes quicker, and then we'll save the big equipment for fires and then the real big emergencies.
Is the city experiencing a shortage of qualified workers to fill jobs like many other agencies and companies? They're all complaining.
Right. I'm not sure that we're having as much difficulty as some of our aviation companies, for instance, that are looking for skilled labor. We've been able to fill most of our positions. Now, on police, we've had to be more aggressive, and our police chief, Gordon Ramsey, has done a nice job of being more creative. Fire department has been doing the same thing to make sure that we have a good pool to draw from and that we have a diversity in that pool as well.
Do you think Wichita has fully recovered from the Great Recession of 2008?
Well, Jeremy Hill at WSU would probably disagree with me. He's kind of our economic guru. I think we have. I think there's a lot more optimism in the community. I think our unemployment rate is fairly low. Are we producing general aviation aircraft like we used to? No. That is probably still an indicator that there's some slowness in the economy. But overall, we're hearing from companies that say we could grow even faster if we could get more skilled workers. So that tells me that that we're being successful.
Yeah, back to the skilled workers thing.
Yep, exactly.
And and we have changed as an economy, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, but not as much as we need to. And I don't know that I've ever come on your show and not talked about the need to diversify, but we need to do that. We had what was called the BREG initiative, a blueprint for regional economic growth, and the whole idea was to build on different clusters. We can't turn our back on aviation and advanced manufacturing, but we need to expand and bolster our health services, what we do in transportation. There's a number of services where I think we can strengthen what we do, and we need to help businesses grow.
You talked about online shopping and so forth.
Yep.
And computers. But how have computers impacted what you do day-to-day in the city and how you do things?
Well, another good question. We couldn't do what we do today with the workforce that we have if we weren't utilizing technology. And, you know, almost every employee we have has a computer on their desktop or they have access to a computer. We have new technology that we use in the field. A good example, and this moves away from computers, but just the whole idea of technology, we have a truck now that can be a one-person truck to repair potholes. And phenomenal technology, and actually the potholes last longer and look better than the old method. And so I'm pretty proud the way our people are innovating and trying to stretch our dollars.
So do you reboot your computer about three times a day? Or?
No.
You have somebody do that for you.
No, not really. I'm just careful what I allow on my computer, Steve.
There you go. You got to be careful. So I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. I lost you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I said I won't even ask what you're watching on your computer.
Oh, no.
You causes you to do that.
No. So now how long have you been city manager for Wichita?
Over 9 years.
9 years. And what's your favorite thing about being manager?
The big answer is people, and it's the people that I work with in the organization. We have some great folks. And I love coming in every day and spending time watching the work they do. Sometimes I think they're underappreciated. We've got a really strong business. And I think we're getting to the point where if we were a private operation that we could make money in the market. And at the same time, I just love the people of this community. And I've said that ever since I got here. This is one of the warmest communities that I've ever lived in. And I love going out and talking to neighborhood organizations and just really bumping into people on the street. They're so kind, and they'll let me know when they have concerns about what we're doing, but it's in a respectful way, never in a mean-spirited way. The people here are just phenomenal.
I was going to ask you what your favorite things are about the city. It seems like you've already answered that question. In fact, you've answered most of the questions before I even got a chance to ask them. So,
sorry, Steve. Don't give me the list next time.
Okay, Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. It's always informative to have you with us, and we appreciate your time this morning. Our guest, Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. That's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.